This is Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality, and I am your humble host, Zainab. We are again at your service with yet brand new episode of Back to Reality. Yes, today we are going to talk about what aging teaches us. And on that note, we have in studio with us two special guests. I have with me Fatima from California and Sadiqa from the UK. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is Fatima from California, USA.
Oh, alaikum salam. Thank you for having me over. And this is Sadiqa from UK.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. A very warm welcome. Well, in today's episode, we are going to discuss a very interesting topic. Who am I? Fatima, how do you define yourself? Or rather, I must say, who are you?
Kind of a difficult question. I mean, I think most of us, kind of our self-identity changes over time. From the beginning, when you're a child, young, your parents and your environment and teachers at school and friends kind of start shaping who you are. And then as you get older, you kind of choose your own identity kind of. So I think starts out from the childhood, like your cultural, racial identity, and then religious. So if you had a religious upbringing, I had pretty religious upbringing. My mom was a convert to Shia Islam. So I kind of identified myself, number one, as, okay, I'm Shia Muslim, and living in the U.S., we're like a minority there, especially because majority of Muslims are Sunni. So we kind of identified more, okay, we're Shia, we're friends with Sunni people, but we're like a little bit different from them. That was the first identity I had, and then went on from there. Hope to be a servant of Allah, and I don't really have much other. I don't have like a long resume of, okay, I think I'm this, this, and this.
Okay.
It's kind of a difficult question.
Sadiqa, you know, Imam Ali al-Islam says in one of the hadiths that the one who knows himself knows Allah. So how much have you personally worked on that?
So I want to look at it from a very different perspective that might lead us to the hadith that you're talking about. So I'm just going to give an example.
Yeah.
If a person, you put a person in a vortex, no limbs, no hands, legs, nothing. They do not have any body with them.
Okay.
But they will realize, I am here. I exist.
I exist.
Now, their existence is not their body. It's not their soul. It's not the achievements. It's not anything. It is that soul that is being referred to in the hadith.
Okay.
And we have in the Quran, when Allah says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِمْ مِنْ رُوحِي, I breathed into them my soul, my spirit.
Yes.
As some of the translations have translated as spirit.
Yeah.
The Quran talks about, they ask you about the soul, right? So
yeah.
The Quran talks about the soul as a matter of reality.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to identify myself, first and foremost, it's not going to be what I have achieved or what I wear or what I look like or what my beauty is like. It comes down to that soul and how we have worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a very long discussion on this. You know, one who recognizes his soul recognizes Allah.
Yeah.
Because وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, if Allah has breathed into us that spirit,
definitely,
then to understand our connection with Allah will lead us to understanding Allah better.
Yeah.
Now, there's a very long discussion. I don't think it's going to be enough for the short time we have.
Yeah.
But understanding that connection with Allah, understanding Allah and our responsibilities in this world, inshallah, can help us in the first step gain cognizance of Allah.
Yeah.
And then understand Allah better.
Yeah. Fatima, coming back to you, why do you think Imam Ali al-Islam said like that? If you know yourself, if you know who I am, you actually know Allah.
The soul is mentioned so much in the Quran and Hadith, but I don't think any of us are really going to know exactly what it is. In the Quran, it's stated in the translation that we're not going to know so much. It's something kind of secret. We're not going to know very much of it. I think we're going to know ourselves a little more when we get out of this life. Because in this dunya, we're kind of attached to specific things, like physical things, so much. So when we get in this discussion of the soul and this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam. It's so spiritual. I think we can't realize these. We can realize it up to a certain degree, depending on how much we work on ourselves,
yeah,
spiritually, and if we have a good teachers, and if we're, you know, focus on it. But I think we're going to see more of it, as far as I've heard, in the next life.
Yeah.
And it's going to be apparent where is our soul, you know, the yeah. level of our soul spiritually. So I think that is pretty much who we are, is back to our spiritual development. And those who didn't develop spiritually, they're not going to see as much yeah. as those who did. So I think Imam Ali Aslam is referring to those people who are really trying to spiritually improve and know themselves more, whereas majority are not. They're kind of focused on their career and their family and different life goals. But if you're focused on the spiritual part of it, then you're going to know yourself more, then you're going to know Allah more.
Yes.
But there's only so much I think we can see in this life till we get to the next life.
Dear listeners, we'll continue the discussion after a short break. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back. You're listening to Back to Reality, and we are discussing who am I? If a person starts, you know, analyzing what kind of drop he was, where from he was created, if he looks into himself and analyzes the stages of his life one by one, from the very drop he was created to a human being, after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating him said to himself, Ahsanul Khalikin, he said to himself, I'm the best of the creators. He praises himself. So yes, if we realize that, if we go through the stage-to-stage development of our hours, we will realize what kind of worlds, what kind of universes have changed, like developed within us. For example, when I go and wash my hands, I don't know how many cells go away with washing hands. And again, some cells rebuild, they get renewed. And inside every cell, there's another universe. So when you're going to analyze all that, the structure of your body, actually, you are going to reach back to Allah. You're going to know who He is, who created you. Well, Siddiqa, there are sometimes people, you know, who tell us you are this, you are that, you are this, this, this. Have you ever realized that these people, the people around us who know us very well, sometimes help us to understand who we really are? People see you doing charity and other things, or like some other good deeds, but you personally are not aware of any of your qualities, like you never realize that's within you. And your friends tell you, like, you are so humble. So do you think people sometimes looking at our activities help us define ourselves?
They might help us define what we are doing.
Yeah.
So if a person is humble, they're being humble. So they're helping define an activity that you've done and task that you've taken. Giving charity. Again, giving charity, humble. All of these are responsibilities that we're supposed to abide by.
Obviously.
And when it comes down to the soul itself, I guess it would be a very difficult thing to define, I guess. Yes, because if a person is humble, are they humble because they try to be humble, or has it become part of their soul?
Yeah.
Because there are two things, right? If it becomes part, like we say in Farsi, malake,
yeah.
it's become part and parcel of your soul.
Yeah.
Now, there is different, that when it's become part of your soul, then it defines who you truly are. But if a person is trying to be humble, then it will take a few tries, it will take a few years of working on this habit to for it to become part of a person's soul. That's when it defines a person as humble or charitable, because it becomes part of their soul. One of the imams, the ninth imam, he's known as Jawad.
Yeah.
Right? Jawad is one who gives without even asking for it.
Yeah.
Because it's part of them. It's not. They do not expect anything from you. Even when you go to, you know, the Quran, Surah Insan.
Yes.
It was revealed because Ahlul Bayt, the Imam Ali, Bibi Fatima, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, they gave their food away for 3 days, and they told them, we do not expect any thanks or any reward from you. Our reward lies with Allah.
Yeah.
But that's because that charitable act had become part of their life. It was something that was so innate to them that they did not expect anything from the other person. So when I'm going to define the Ahlul Bayt as generous, it's because part of their soul. So now when I'm defining them as generous, it is because the soul has truly adapted to this attribute.
Yeah. And giving up without expectations is something really, that's a really, really difficult task. I mean, even a wife cooks at home. She does her daily household things. She expects at least a thank you from her husband. And if when it's not there, the thanks become terrible. Well, Fatima, coming back to you, have you ever realized that someone around you helped you understand who you are? One of my friends tells me, like, if I sometimes give away things that are very close to my heart, but since, you know, charity and giving away is so much, emphasized in Quran, so I just get excited and I start giving up new things that are very close to my heart, that in fact my heart pains while giving things. There are some friends who tell me that you are senseless, that you're giving away things without just, you could have sold them, mm-hmm. but without selling them out, you're just giving away. You are really a silly person, you know. But sometimes some people say you are nice person, you're giving away things. Where do you get this heart from? You know? Mm-hmm. So do you think you realize this way when people see doing you things? Well, that was not my example. I just said that. For example, if I'm like this, I'm not just, showing off over here that I did this and some people say this. And I'm just giving you an example to understand what I'm trying to say. So do you think some people around you sometimes try to make you realize what you really are?
I think friends more than family, because I spend more time with friends. Friends help us realize who we are. They've helped me understanding my personality more, yeah.
Well, you know, I never knew that I have, for example, if I decide something, I will do this, I will definitely go through that thing. But my family, recently I was making a video call from here and I told them, like, I got this thing and I got that thing. And my sister was like, well, there's nothing new about that. I know you from childhood. You always, whatever you said, you did that. You know, but she telling me helped me understand a part of my life. I never knew that I'm a kind of a person who does it. Sometimes we are, but we really do not realize it. Asking you, Sadiqa, sometimes, you know, I feel like I'm not much tall, I'm not much short, but I wish I was taller. How do I come up with this? Because it's a part of me, height, color, skin color, and different things, my accent, all these are part of me. This is what defines me. But sometimes I really don't like it. I'm upset with my skin tone. I'm upset with my height. I'm upset with so many things that are a part of me who define who I am. So how do you think people can tackle that?
First, they can't define us, because if they did define us, then we wouldn't be leaving them behind when we die.
Wow.
So they don't define us. They're part of us. And a lot of these things are culture-based. Now, I'll give you an example. I work with a few people, and in short, I get questions, right? So I had a question that came in from a sister who unfortunately had gone through a lot of bullying because of her height.
Yeah.
And she hated her height. You know, she was shorter, she wanted to be taller. Now, height...
That's what I wanted to tell you. You know, sometimes people come up with the things, they start making judgments, they start making comments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the height is just a genes. It's related to a DNA,
yeah.
Right? It's something that's just there. It's
that's
DNA
something
based.
That does not define you.
It cannot define you, because you see, the problem with our society is we judge people a lot. There's a lot of you're short, so a person who's short them might get bullied a lot. Well, that does not define them.
We could tell our parents, our sisters, our siblings, and others, our closest friends, to help us fill the form. Tell me what are my good qualities and tell me what are my bad qualities, honestly. And when they are being honest, defining that, you can be a better person, working on the good ones and trying to skip the worst ones you have. Thank you so much, guys, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.